to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Have you ever eavesdropped on your thoughts to see how many of them are really created by should do's rather than want to's? The other day I did, and I was thinking about it as I was preparing for this show on all the things that we should do, and I was absolutely amazed at how many times I found myself saying throughout the day, you know, I should stop doing what I'm doing to get on with what I should be doing. I found myself thinking about my sister and different friends I haven't talked to in a long time, and I thought, you know, I should call them and just say hi and let them know, hey, I'm here, I'm alive and everything. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I should call my mom. I haven't called my mom. I call her every day. I haven't called her yet. I need to call her then. And I really should get together with her, and we should do lunch instead of working all the time. And I should get up and fix dinner instead of trying to finish this project. And, you know, I really should lose those extra pounds that I'm carrying around. And I should stop and slow down and, you know, kind of smell the roses and get some, you know, activities that are different than working all the time in my life. And when I got through, I literally had to laugh at myself because I thought, oh my goodness, and especially because I came back from a near-death experience, and I really made a pact to myself many years ago that I was going to live my life doing a lot of things that I'd rather do than the things I should do. And lo and behold, here I had fallen into this superwoman syndrome that we find ourselves falling into. And I really realized that, you know, we probably should just face it, and that is that we are really, our thoughts are so much around what we should do that we put more energy than we should into those should do's, and it became like a comical routine. You know, I probably could have done a stand-up routine on all the should do's and so forth. So anyway, that's what today is all about. Thank you for joining me. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. The topic of today's show is about all the shoulds that tend to run our lives. And before I really decided on the topic itself, way back before I posted it, I thought, you know, I should just see, am I the only one? Now, of course, I knew I wasn't, but I thought, I really should see if I'm the only one that falls into this should-do syndrome. So I started surveying friends and different listeners, and I found out, first of all, an amazing thing to me is that women, as I looked at it and did more research and listening, women are more run by should-dos than men are. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, that certainly makes sense because a lot of us as females are conditioned that we should put the needs of others before our own, and we should be the caregiver, caretaker. We should be the cheerleader, the inspirer. We should be the motivator. We should be all of these things that we are conditioned to do, and of course everything has changed, and now we should be able to hold down a full-time job while we're raising kids and all the things that are shoulds around those. So what I'm going to be doing throughout the show today is I'm going to be talking some more about the should do's and how they really can impact us from a health standpoint, mostly wear and tear. That's really where I found, as a medical intuitive, the should do activity of our lives really wears us down, not only mentally and emotionally, but really energetically. And so I'm going to be talking some more about that. And then I'm going to offer some suggestions that I put into my should to-do list on how to stop what I call this superwoman syndrome that I'm seem to be displaying in my behavior, and so many of the other people, women that I talk to are as well. And then also, what can we do by personality? Personality really drives so much of our should-dos that are on the list, and for different reasons, and I'm going to be sharing that in the second segment. So I hope that you enjoy the show. If you hear a smile on my face and a chuckle in my voice as I'm doing this, I'm frankly not sure who the show is for. I think I wrote it for you, the listeners, but I will tell you every word I put down on this piece of paper to prepare for this show. It's like, Carol, are you listening? So it should be a fun show and hopefully an enlightened show for all of us, including myself. I'm also going to be sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's a line that is open to all. If you have any difficulty at all in that line, you've got another number. You can call me at 425-644-5620. The problem with the shoulds is that they cause us to create unrealistic expectations of ourselves, and they really generate a deep unhappiness and discontentment. in ourselves that we can't meet those expectations that are associated with the should do's. Psychologically, that's what really wears our body down. It's like our mind keeps ruminating on all these should things. It's like an endless task list where we get caught in a loop. I call it, in our household, kind of like feeling like a hamster in the wheel, that there is just more things that I should do versus the time there is in a 24-hour period of time. And I have found myself saying very recently, you know, Carol, this may not be humanly possible for you to be able to do this. Well, of course, my yellow personality thinks, oh, sure, I can do anything. And then I come up and I have that awakening that, you know, possibly I can't do everything and that maybe I need to go back. And we do. Each one of us needs to go in and look at the expectations that we have around ourselves and look at the quality of our lives. 2009 is the ending now, is in preparation for 2010, which is all about resolve. And one of the things that we're being asked to do in preparation now, where we've been kind of looking at our closets as to what's not working in our life, 2010, we're going to be asked to go in and look at those things and then to recognize what we can resolve in those situations that has kept us in a situation where we're not finding the joy in life and we're not having the discretionary time to do the things that we desire to do. Truthfully, in the resolve year, most of what we're going to be dealing with and most of what drives the should-dos is the emotion of guilt. And one of the things we're going to be asked to do is look at that emotion of guilt and see how much it's running our life and how many different scenarios we get engaged in on a daily basis that are really driven by guilt. It's the guilt that creates the unrealistic expectations and generates this unhappiness or this inner deep-seated discontentment that we have. And I hear this not only from women but from men, but I also find that it is something that is becoming more pervasive in the thought patterns around how we see ourselves. Somewhere along the line, I believe that we've bought into a conditioning that comes in and says that we really need to be perfect. Our lives need to be perfect. We need to be control. Our house needs to be perfect. Our kids need to be perfect. We need to be perfect at our job. And a lot of the perfectionism is driven, of course, internally for us and by us, but really more importantly, it's driven by the fact that we have these unrealistic expectations that truthfully is part of our conditioning. I can remember, and I'm going to age myself, but I can remember as a little girl watching Leave It to Beaver. Now that gives you an idea of how old I am. But I can remember watching that and thinking to myself, when I grow up, I want a family just like June Cleaver, and I want to be able to have, you know, everybody kind of in their happy place and in the happy place in the house, and I'm going to be baking pies and doing all these different things. And whoa, I have come to the realization, and not just recently, but the realization that at this time in particular, maybe at the time that it was popular, it was something that we could certainly do. But right now, with all of the demands that are on our lives and the activities and the fact that women are a major force within the workforce itself, that what we need to do is maybe just go back and realize that some of the things that we're doing isn't that we can't do them, but they really are unrealistic in the demands that we have of ourselves. So I came to the conclusion as I was finishing this show, the days of Joan Cleaver and Leave It to Beaver is gone. And so when we look at it that way, what we really want to do is step back, look at our lives, and go in and realize what is on the list on a daily basis or even a weekly basis, not even any more than that. What can we do to eliminate from our activities on the day and in the week situation that will give us a few minutes of discretionary time? That seems to be the thing that I hear consistently throughout my readings, the emails that I receive, is that we really are craving discretionary time. And that's time where we just can do what's important to us, whether it's sewing or gardening or playing with our family, going to the zoo, whatever it may be, but where we can enter into an activity where we, frankly, don't feel guilty about it. And so what we're doing is we're going to be looking at that and really going in. And, you know, and the holidays are upon us, so I don't know about you, but I've got a whole list of should-dos. I should bake cookies. You know, I could probably go to a bakery and buy cookies, and I should make my homemade gifts because that's what I used to do. So, again, if you fall into that, maybe we should step back and really look at our lives and say, to ourselves what is really driving what we do. And I think if we do that, then we'll find that we'll get those few minutes to maybe sit down and read a book or a magazine, or even devote the time to our relationships that are important. Some of the readings I've done this last month in the end of October and November, all the month of November, was all around, Carol, I just feel like I need to get away with my honey and have time away from the kids and the pressure and so forth. So again, something certainly for us to look at. Trying to do everything, and I speak from my own self, is really much too stressful, and it really distracts us from the things that are important. And number one, as a medical intuitive, that is our health. The reality is, if our health is not what it needs to be, we don't have the energy that we need, and we don't feel good, or we have the aches and pains. It's very, very difficult for us to, even when we have the time, to do the things that are important to us. So instead of being perfect, maybe we need to not strive at being perfect, but just do the best we can, or be excellent at what we're really good at, and then, again, we can go from there. So that's really kind of the flavor of the show. I am going to be taking your calls, so if you do have a question for me, I've got some callers on the lines. I have some empty lines that certainly are open, so if you have a call for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062, or you can call me at 425-644-5620. Let's go ahead and let's go to line one. Hi, Lowell from Canada. How are you?
Hello. Hi. Oh, hi, Carol.
Hi. Thanks for calling me. How can I help you?
Thank you. about a week ago, I broke my leg, and it just the last few years, I mean, it's been my left back, and now my left jaw, it's so tight. And I'm just wondering, what do you see?
Let's go in and let's first of all look at it physically, because by doing that, it will give your mind something that it can hang on to. Mm-hmm. And when anything, a trauma like this happens, or we don't feel good, the mind fixates on what happens. When I go into the muscle structure of your body, the way that your hips have been rotated, meaning not in alignment with the rest of your spine in that pelvic girdle area, the hips were rotated where you were leading more with your left foot than you were with your right foot. So it's like those hips got twisted somehow. And your whole spine, all the muscles, all the way up the spine, all the way up into your neck, and I can find also up, toward the top of the brainstem, all of those muscles, Lowell, have been for a long time trying, honey, to keep you straight, to keep you upright, to keep your stride where it needs to, and then has been pulling at that spine and those hips in order to do that. That situation actually feels to me like it's something that happened when you were younger, probably as young as maybe 7 or 8 years old. You either fell off a swing or you fell or you did something and you hurt your spine in your shoulder area and in an arm, your arm, your shoulder, your neck area. And since that time, your spine has had a difficult time being able to be straight. When I go into the spine, there's a little bit of a twist, maybe a little bit of a scoliosis that has occurred just because of this. So by sharing that with you, Lowell, all of those things were really, the way I look at it, kind of a precursor for an accident to happen, whether it's the twisting of an ankle or a twisting of the knee or tearing an ACL or having sciatica or anything. So the one thing when you're looking at the healing of this, I would like you to look at the top of your brainstem all the way down to your coccyx, your tailbone. And what I would like you to do is, it's like you and I are sitting down, honey, with some building blocks. And I would like you to start at the top of the neck with cervical vertebrae 1, and I would like you to put that into position, see it in position. And then I'd like you to go down the vertebrae like you're stacking blocks on top of each other. And what your muscles will do is they will start to accommodate this straightness of your spine. There are some things you could do. Rolfing, of course, where you are right now, it isn't an option. When you get to the place where you're in physical therapy, talk to them about Rolfing, how do you get your spine straight, the Alexander techniques, Some people will use Feldenkrais. There's many things that you can do to re-pattern your muscles to hold your spine where it needs to. The broken leg is a result of this twist. Now, I know that the mind comes in and goes, oh my gosh, I broke my leg, and all it does is fixate on the leg itself. Mm-hmm. But in reality, what we're really looking at is we need to reteach your body how to stand upright. The break in the leg itself feels like it's already in a healing process. There tends to be some hairline fractures as I'm looking at it that are already in the healing process. When I go down into the ankle, the tightness in the ankle is, of course, the result of the leg break itself. The ankle itself is very, very weak. I have a lot of energy that is in there. I have a lot of inflammation in the ankle. I have some inflammation in the knee, and I have some inflammation in the hip, but it's in the ankle where I'm really getting it. So as you're visualizing your own healing and everything, that's where I want you to go. I want you to see the color of red, meaning inflammation, the color brown, that the energy, the chi is not running through that area the way it needs to. It's congested. There's a little bit of blockage. I want you to go down. I want you to visualize each one of your toes with this little tiny, you know, dime-sized chakra at the end, and I want you to literally, like you're playing a xylophone, big toe open, increase the vibration of the chakra, you know, and work through your toes, little toe, increase the vibration, and then go back and repeat it. And what that will do is it'll pull the chi down through the leg itself, and that will be part of the healing as well as just the bones themselves mending and then the muscles trying to recuperate from the trauma and then also from the standpoint of the inflammation that's occurred. Now, that's the physical part. So you've got different ways to visualize that. The doctor you're working with feels like he's done, it feels like a male. Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Has done an outstanding job. Now, it isn't my place to say whether a doctor does outstanding or not, but I can tell you that your doctor is a very skilled technician. He understands bones and body structure very, very well, and he's done a tremendous job in putting things to a place where they will heal, to a place where you won't lose that skeletal strength that's going to recover. So if you had any doubts around the doctor, which I kind of picked up, then I would let go of that.
Okay.
The other thing is, sweetie, from a psychological part, you're a beautiful being, highly developed in your intuition. Your soul work is to be this kind of beacon of light and not to be afraid to step out from behind the curtain. If I were doing like the Nutcracker for Christmas, you would be one of these beautiful little dolls that get on the stage, and it's like the director behind the curtain say, okay, Lowell, you're on. And you're going, oh my gosh, what if I can't do this? What if I can't get on my toes? What if I can't twirl? What if I can't do this? I'm talking about should do's and all these other things. Mm-hmm. Sweetie, you can dance beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
Don't hold yourself back.
Thank you.
A lot of the things that you're doing, and oh my gosh, I speak so much of myself as well and all of us right now, it doesn't do us any good psychologically, energetically, spiritually, soulfully, personality, for us to play small. Where we are with this change of energy, the shifting of consciousness, this is your time to dance, sweetie. It's your time to come on stage. And you know what, Lowell? Even if you come on stage and you stand there, sweetie.
Okay.
Whether you dance or not, just get on stage, honey.
Okay.
And I think what this is it isn't that you're being punished for any thoughts that you've had or fears that you've had or any limitations or anything. This is not what this is about. What it's about is you knew 3 months ago that there's something inside that you really need to move forward. But our humanness causes us to be fearful, and sometimes those fears become bigger than life. So again, I don't care if you dance, I just want you to get on stage.
Okay. the thing that I feel bad is, Carol, just before I step out that morning, I knew I wasn't supposed to go. Something told me to not go out. That's what I'm punishing myself for it now.
Boy, oh, honey, I don't know what I could say to help you with that, because I think every one of us in our human body does that. When we become so confused around when our intuition is talking to us and when our mind is,
mm-hmm.
and we've associated intuition with only telling us bad things, And as a result, you know, it's kind of like an epidemic, a pandemic, if I really look at it from all the work I've done, that we second guess our intuition.
Yeah.
And you know what? You did. You walked out there, you fail.
Yeah.
And you fail for a reason. Maybe you needed to step back and look at what you're afraid of. Maybe you need to look at your intuition and recognize it doesn't only tell you the bad things of things about life and the bad things that are going to happen. Maybe you need to become reacquainted with your intuition for you. And maybe when I said, all I want you to do, Lowell, is be on stage, maybe being on stage is so you can see the greatness of your intuition. You know, sweetie, there's an upside to this. It's crazy to say, but the bottom line of it is you really do have to stop.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to slow down, and you do have a lot of discretionary time to probably do a lot of things that you've been wanting to do.
Yeah, I do.
You know, some people may say, oh, my God, Carol, what do you say? But really, it's very, very true.
So, anyway, it is true.
But it is a great time. We're entering into a tremendous time of shift of consciousness. It actually started November 11th. It will culminate December 25th. This is a time where we are literally being asked, stop in our tracks, look at our life, what in our life is not working, and let's resolve it. And you have the time to do that.
Okay.
So thank you so much for calling me.
I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Hi, let's do Louisiana. Let's do Ann from Louisiana. Hi, Ann. How can I help you, hon?
Hi. How are you doing today?
Well, you know, I'm probably doing energetically about as well as you. You know, I feel good. I feel good, but I'm a little bit tired, and I don't know whether it's my body or whether it's this doggone energy that's going on. You know, sometimes I feel like, whoo, this is Carol. Sometimes I feel like I'm not myself. Does this describe you, sweetie?
Well, I've been having lower stomach pain. So my uterus was taken out about 20 years ago, and I only have my ovaries. So they gave me an ultrasound this morning, and everything was fine. But I'm still having pain in my lower back and my lower stomach. So I wondered if maybe you could give it a look and see what you saw.
Yeah, when I go in, the first thing that I'm picking up is that you have a predisposition for candida. And what that means is that you get a yeast imbalance that happens, and it feels like it's almost a cycle. I'll see if I can go into that a little bit more. But what I'm picking up is this lower back pain, where it is, because it's really, really like the lower, like you would think it's in the uterine area. I'm not sure, sweetie, that you don't have a predisposition for a bladder infection coming on. And so what I would, yeah, go ahead.
No, I didn't hear. I don't have a predisposition for.
Yeah, I don't. What I'm picking up is that you have a predisposition in your body right now for a bladder infection. I'm not sure that some of the discomfort that you're not experiencing, the way that I'm feeling it in you, is that you don't have a bladder infection that's coming on. And there's a lot of uneasiness in that uterus, that bladder area, down in that lower pelvic kind of bowl area. So what I would encourage you to do, you don't have a bladder infection at this time. What I would encourage you to do is you could start taking some D-mannose, D-M-A-N-N-O-S-E. It is a highly concentration of cranberry. You can order it online or talk to a health food store. If you have a health food store, that's certainly the best place to go. You can talk to them. If you have any cranberry pills at all, I would encourage you to do that and get some cranberry pills going. Again, I think you can stop this fungus imbalance that I have that could be a precursor to a bladder infection before it occurs. And when I go in, and part of the reason that I said that, Anne, is that you don't feel like you're urinating as often or as freely as you do. Excuse me for the kind of clinical perspective on this, especially on, you know, live radio. But there's been a change in your bowel. There's been a change in that lower cavity. There's been a change in the actual urination patterns that you have. When I go in and look at the uterine area, there is nothing that is there. When I go in and look at that lower intestinal tract, that kind of that small intestine that sits down into that pelvic bowl area, I actually can find a bacteria, fungus, yeast imbalance that's occurring. You could find that out by going and getting some litmus tabs at the health food store or at a drugstore. Put it on your tongue. You're very acidic right now, sweetie. And if you could change your diet to get your diet to the point where you're more alkaline, I think this will take care of it. When I look in that area, there was, it looks like you had some endometriosis lesions in that area. That's not what's causing the problem. I look into the descending colon. I look into the sigmoid part of the colon as it comes into the rectum itself. I'm not finding anything there. There is some compaction, it feels like, of the waste in that lower intestinal area, but I don't see anything, as the doctors have alluded to, anything that means that we have a real problem. It just looks like it's a combination of things that have caused this. But what it's doing is, because the body is, your immune system kind of trying to figure it out, like you are and I am and the doctor is, your immune system is very, very active, and that's what's causing a lot of the fatigue. The back pain itself does not look like it's tied to a herniated disc or a bulging disc or that you've done any injury to the spine itself. I just keep coming back to this imbalance that's happening. And if that rings true, there would be no harm to your body to start the cranberry. You will want to, if you're going to take cranberry juice, you will want to minimize the amount of sugar, because that does feed the fungus, yeast, bacteria imbalance that's associated with candida. That's why I suggested cranberry pills. The higher the concentration on a, you know, kind of a hit the body with it, you could do up to probably 1,000 milligrams of cranberry. There's no harm to the body. Or look for the D-mannose and take that for a couple of days, then with the alkaline diet. I think that's going to help you.
Okay. All right.
I don't pick up anything serious, sweetie.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And
well,
you have a great day.
Well, thank you, and you too, and happy holidays. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be right back to be able to share more about this should do, and I'm going to do it by personality, and then I'm going to offer some suggestions on how to stop this should do superwoman syndrome that we seem to get caught up in, especially at this time. So please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back. Thank you.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Again, and thanks for joining me today. Boy, we're talking about the should-do syndrome and how it runs so much of our life, and I'm going to be sharing about the should-do syndrome by personality color. If you don't know your personality color, what I would encourage you to do is they make great Christmas gifts, not only to yourself but to others. I have four different books out, What Color Is Your Personality? Your Personality, Your Health, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? And Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It? And that means managing us, the people in our lives. And it's just not a business book. It's very interesting. That's the feedback I'm getting. So I've got all these books. They have a full assessment in each book. You'll be able to go in, and it will give you a real comprehensive look at the neurology of your personality, how you gather information and make decisions, and then voila, you would become a personality color, red, orange, yellow, or green. The My Books can be purchased through hayhouse.com or of course, amazon.com. Some of the books are at local book retailers, but again, if you have any problem at all, I would either go to Amazon or hayhouse.com. But it will give you just a kind of a synopsis of who you are. I'm also going to be taking your calls, and we can talk about, you know, the should-dos in your life. But more importantly, I'd like to be able to share my medical intuitive skills with you by answering your questions. So if you have a call for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062, or you can call me at 425-644-5620. And I'll just look forward to hearing from you and answering questions. The problem with should-dos is they cause us to do things for other people's reasons and not our own. And ironically, many of the times that we do this, the other people aren't even aware that we're really doing it for their reasons and not ours. You know, we find in magazines and articles and advertising and newspapers and television programs, all these things that we as women, and I don't mean to be leaving men out, but they don't seem to be as driven by the should-dos as we are to the extent, let's say it that way, to the extent that we are. But literally, as women, we are bombarded many, many times on a daily basis. And in fact, I did some research. Each one of us, male and female, and even our children, an interesting statistic is said that we're bombarded with over 1,000 advertising impressions a day, all intended to guide us as to what we should do. And now, for people that don't watch TV, then you can eliminate some of those. But literally, we are conditioned to do should-dos. And in reality, if we're not skinny enough or we're, you know, not heavy enough or whatever it is, we get caught up in these syndromes. So it really helped me in doing this show and looking at statistics that, you know, maybe it's time that I, Carol Reitberger, and maybe as I offer to you, maybe it's time that we step back. We're going to still do things that are required of us. But if there are things that we should do, and we're consciously aware of why we're doing these things, then we really can be in touch with why. Then we're not doing them for other people's reasons. We've made a conscious effort to be able to go in and to be able to do them for ourselves. So let's go in real quickly in personality. And again, if you don't know it, purchase one of my books. You'll find it a great, good read. But more importantly, you're going to learn a lot more about yourself. So when I look at what I call the should-do syndrome for each personality color through their perspective, I find that each personality color, again, male or female, is really plagued by a lot of the needs that by the people they care about. So the should-do for the reds is they're more driven by the demands of work. Their shoulds are work-oriented more than they are home-oriented or relationship-oriented. The should-dos for the orange are driven by the needs of the people they care about. Oranges are more driven by the shoulds of their family and the demands that their family place upon them or that they want to do for their family. And in their case, they get caught between what they should do at home, and then the second part of that is if they're in the working world or maybe they're volunteering, the things that they should do for other people. Their preference is to always do the things they should for their family. So many times they struggle, and then they may not appear to us as being as consistent, but they really are struggling as to how do they balance the demands of their outside world with the demands within their family. The should-dos for the yellows are driven by their need to follow through on the commitments they make. Once a yellow makes a commitment, that becomes a list of tasks that should be done in order for that commitment to be filled. Now, of course, life gets in the way. Challenges get in the way. There are a lot of different things that we do as yellows that we kind of need to move the things forward. But once we make the commitment, that really becomes the priority that drives our actions and drives us mentally. And as a yellow, and for yellows, what we do is the should-dos around other people or the demands in our life, whether it's our family or friends or whatever else is going on, really falls to the lower part of our list, and it's all around the should-dos around the commitment. The should-dos for the greens are driven by their need to be liked. The should-dos for the green is because there's a tremendous anxiety they have around rejection, personal rejection. They're very hard on themselves. They believe that they ought to be able to really make everyone happy, to be the cheerleader of the, you know, life and for people. They're very inspirational and motivational and everything, but that does put a lot of unrealistic expectations. And then when somebody, they try to do something as a green that they feel they should, and the feedback they get isn't the feedback that they are really looking for, then what happens is they become greatly disappointed, disenchanted, not only with themselves, but with the people that should recognize what they're doing. So when I looked at the personalities from each individual thing and then looked at them as a whole, what I found is the colors that are most likely to let the should-dos truly run their life, especially their life, their relationships overall, are the oranges and the greens. And the reason for this is actually threefold. One, they do what they should do because they want to avoid conflict at all costs, even if it means taking a submissive or a compliant role just to keep the peace. That then compromises them tremendously. The second factor is they tend to hold on emotions such as guilt and worry longer than the red and the yellow do, and they feel that it's their job to be able to do something. They should do something to alleviate these emotions, but they get caught up in that emotional kind of dog chasing its tail syndrome to where they get to a place where they're not really sure what emotion they're really working with. And then the third thing is they struggle the most with accepting themselves for just who they are. The yellows and the reds by nature aren't as concerned as what other people think of us as what we think of ourselves. The oranges and the greens are more concerned at other people and how they go in and they basically look at them. So what can we do to stop this cycle? What we can do is, first and foremost, we can change the should to we choose to do things. And if we have something on the task, like I said, I should call my mother, I should have lunch with my mother, when I do that, I get driven by the guilt part of it. So what I do, and I suggest to you, is I choose to call my mother. Now, I understand that I'm a yellow and that works for me, but what it does is it diffuses the emotions of guilt that are around the should-dos, and it puts me into a place that I truly desire to call my mother and to be able to talk to her. So it takes a sense of being out of control immediately back into the control, and it replaces the negative emotions with the positive feelings of emotions. I enjoy my mother's company tremendously. My mother is 85 years old. My gosh, she can dance circles around me. Any time I can spend with her is very precious, and yet I can go months without seeing her. I talk to her on the phone, and my mother lives 25 minutes away. Hello. So those are the things we're being asked to do. And when we do things like this that we choose, it actually puts joy back into our life, and it makes us feel good about ourselves. And then what we're going to do is when we feel good about ourselves, then we're able to come in and be able to really look at our lives, and we get the things that we really enjoy. Make a list of all the things that you really value, the relationships, the activities, and to go from there and to commit the time, whether it's 5 minutes a day or it's 15 minutes a week, commit the time to do the things that are important to you. And then what's going to happen, instead of resentment, guilt, and worry, we're going to have enjoyment, happiness, and love. So to get rid of our superwoman suit that we have, we can do it with just an affirmation. As I replace my superwoman suit with a I just love me suit. Sounds kind of maybe light to do it that way, but you know, really loving ourselves is all about lightness. So let's go ahead. Let's jump in. I'm going to try to take a couple more calls. I'll share a few more things if I have the time. But let's go to Joe in New York. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling me.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I am very good, and how are you?
I'm feeling really weird right now. A couple of months. I have a problem in my job. I was under a lot of pressure, and I feel bad. So I don't know. I have an argument with my boss, and at the end of this was I went out of my job. So since then, my life changed a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I had my life set up before, and everything turned down, and I feel bad, very bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
I had a physical checkup. Everything's all fine for me, physical, but I don't know. It looks like my problem is mentally.
Well, you know, and we'll just kind of go in and not necessarily commiserate together, sweetie, but let's talk about the different things. A lot of your identity, Joe, was tied up in your job and tied up in what you did. It feels like your social network was also tied in to that job and the situation. When that goes away, honey, you're going to go into, first of all, shock. And then you're going to go into anger. And then you're going to go into fear. And then you're going to go into unbelievability. You know, how could this possibly happen to me? Then your mind's going to ruminate on what you did wrong, and it's going to circle and cycle and circle and cycle. You're going to play out the scenarios over and over and over again. The more you do that, the more helpless that you feel, the more that helplessness experiences in the physical part of your body. And it's like someone comes in, sweetie, and it's like they pull a plug that you have, and all of the energy that you had around your identity, all the things that you had planned, all the things, your persona, the things you were going to do in the future, every single day just drains out of you instantly. Where you are right now is you're still in that state of shock. And in that state of shock, you're going to feel like you're depressed. And it is chemical depression. But you're not a depressed person, Joe. I can tell you that about you. You wake up in the morning, it feels like the night before, you have a plan of action. You wake up in the morning, and you're just going to get up, and you've got this plan, and you just start executing it, honey. Well, now you don't know what to execute. And your mind keeps going to try to find out, you know, did you do something wrong? Did you say something wrong? Did you drop the ball? You're going to turn it towards yourself, and then it's going to go, it's like, what was your boss thinking? How can they possibly be without, you know, do without me? And then it's going to be, doggone that boss. And so you're going to continue to cycle in this myriad of emotions. That's where you are. The one thing that I can offer to you is that while it may sound like an insignificant, kind of almost a mindless task, it is a very mindful task. I would like you to get a piece of paper, put your birth name at the top of it. And the reason for the birth name, Joe, is it connects you with the core of who you are. Whether you know, your parents chose the name, but it gets you to the core. And then I want you to say, who am I? And I want you to write down everything you know about yourself that does not reflect other people's opinions. The first five things on that piece of paper are easy. You're a male. If you knew your personality color, you'd do that. You know how you make decisions. You either make them logically or make them emotionally. The very basics of who you are. Put your height, put your weight, you know, put everything about you. Then I want you to continue. Are you good at listening? Are you good at problem solving? And I want you to not say, am I good at this? I want you to say, I'm good at problem solving. I'm good at planning. I'm good at coming in and being able to see the big picture. I'm good at identifying problems before anybody else sees the problems. These are the things I'm picking up energetically about you as I'm on the phone with you. And if you do that, Joe, it's going to connect you with you in a way that you can see that you have value. Those are the things you can count on. The energy is crazy right now. Now, that's not said to make you feel even more bad or to feel good about things. There is a lot of closure of things that have to happen. Joe, I can go into you. Probably about 15 months ago, if you can go back, that's how precise your body's letting me look at you. If you can go back 15 months, and I'm going to say 15 minutes, but let's do the 15 months, to where you are. Look at the changes that started happening then, hun. Look at how you were trying to manage those changes. And go back and be kind to yourself. you've been on this roller coaster, I know, for a while, but 15 months ago, something inside of you changed so strongly that you decided that what you need to do is to come back in control of your life. There was some tension in your job. There's a lot of chaos in the structure of your business. You knew this long before anybody else did. You've been preparing. It's just that you thought in your personality, and you and I can commiserate on this, that in this preparation, that you could somehow manage this not happening. And what we realize is that we really don't have control of the situation. The only thing we can control is ourselves, and that means we need to go back and know who we are. Write down all the things you are good at, all of the things that you can bring value to other people. Your jaw problem, honey, when I go in there, this problem that I pick up has also been one energetically a long time. And physically, there's a predisposition that you've had a long time for minor TMJ. Your jaw has never really functioned as properly as it needs to. You've been grinding your teeth, and it just seems like what your soul and body said to your mind is, you know, you just need to stop talking, mind. You just need to stop going around in circles, chasing your tails and whatever, and you just need to become silent. You need to have the time to think things through. That's where you are right now. There is nothing physically wrong. You could go in and you could, you know, talk to someone about the jaw. They would probably want to put maybe some braces in part of the mouth to be able to deal with it, just to get some movement in the hinge itself on the left side in particular. The right side, I can get a click, click, click. The left side doesn't seem to want to move as much. You can certainly do that. But again, there is nothing that is really wrong with the jaw. The depression you're feeling is, honey, your identity was in your persona around your work, and that's been taken away from you. If it gets to a place where you can't get up in the morning, and it may very well, I can feel that there's, you know, you're kind of on that tendency. The night before you go to bed, I want you to write down one thing you can do the next day. That's why I felt that 15 minutes. One thing you can do the next day that moves you toward getting a job or moving into a place of being marketable. You have a lot of skills that people need. It's just that it didn't work within the corporation, and it had nothing to do with you. It had to do with the conflict between the people that were managing the money and the people that were running the business. And unfortunately, you got caught in the middle.
Okay, Dr. Carol, thank you for your advice.
You are so welcome. You've got a lot to offer. Thank you for calling me. I really, really appreciate it. Okay, let's go ahead to, Amelia?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, sweetie. Help me with your name.
It's Amla.
Amla, very good. You're from Connecticut, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you guys, are you getting snow? We're going to chat for a moment,
no,
all the listeners.
No, not as much as the, I believe Michigan got tons of snow. But not as much here. No, it's just like, it feels, it's just fleeting a lot. It's just like a kitchen sink. It's everything but snow.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've got just a few minutes, but let's go in. How can I help you, hon?
I'm just, you know, I've been through a lot this year, and I know it was a lot of growth on my end, and I really worked hard, so just really working on myself, and I feel like I'm at a place where it's my time to shine, so to speak, and
yeah.
I guess I'm impatient with myself because I'm not getting there yet, or I don't know.
Well, you know what? Let's look at it a couple ways. Excuse me for interrupting you, but I really want to address that. Maybe it isn't that you're not ready, honey. Maybe that tipping point in consciousness hasn't reached the place. It's there. It just hasn't reached that tipping point where it's falling to the other side, that people reach the place where they will seek out what you have to offer. Maybe it isn't you. It's just this craziness of energy. I know you're ready. My gosh, you've been cleaning closets all the way back to a little girl. All the emotional things that would cause you to play small or reject yourself. Good grief, I'd have to pull out 4 or 5 boxes of gold stars for you.
Oh, thank you.
You have been working. I mean, please do know that. I'm validating that.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you're going to get where you want to go. You can either take the road that is really straight, or you can take the path that kind of meanders. It doesn't make any difference which path, sweetie. You're there.
Okay.
You're
going
to get there. But maybe, and especially in the tension and the chaos right now, and Mercury goes back into retrograde, the planets are at odds with each other. I have friends that are astrologers that are trying to help me figure out what the heck's going on, like all the rest of you, some intuitive, right? But they
right.
keep saying to me, Mercury's going into retrograde December 25th, and it's like, oh my gosh, it just came out of it, and I am negotiating.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I'm negotiating with the universe, so could we stretch it out a little bit more?
Exactly.
So, again, this is the time, the energy, December 21st, getting into alignment with the 2012, December 21st, we're not going to fall off the face of the earth. But what we are going to do is we are going to be asked to live the life that we have passion about within us. Our task will remain the same in life. Things are going to change, but we have a tremendous human resiliency. When it hits that tipping point and people start pulling their hair out and they go, oh my gosh, what do I do? Honey, I want you to take your light and I want you to be like the Batman movie. Flick it. It's like, here I am. Amla's here. And just increase the vibration so people can find you. You are a marvelous healer teacher.
Oh, can you repeat that? What did you just say?
You are a marvelous, marvelous healer teacher.
Oh, I know. I write all the time, and I'm really diving in right now.
You are.
And
the right side of your body is that you've been carrying this big old plate of armor to be able to protect you from that negative energy that can come in and all the different things. And what that armor is basically doing, it's caused your body to get real heavy on that side. That's some of the issues that you're having. You're just, if I went in and divided you, honey, I'd go get a good massage and only on the right side. And then a week later, only on the right side. And in about two or three massages, maybe three, you'll feel much, much better.
What about a chiropractor? I know my right hip because I fractured my ankle and my left ankle.
Yep.
So I've been favoring my right side.
You got it. So go talk to a chiropractor. Find someone that does non-force chiropractic. You don't really need to pop the spine. If they choose to do that, to pop it, you know, to drop it, to get that air and that stuff that gets caught in the vertebrae, absolutely. But
okay.
Someone that'll work and stretch and drop and everything. So,
it's nothing serious on my right side?
No.
Okay, good.
You're just, sweetie, you're just out of balance.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, well, happy holidays to you, and thanks for calling me. And all of you, thank you so much for joining me today. It's always a lot of fun for me to start my Wednesday mornings this way. I'm going to be back next Wednesday morning. I'll see you on the radio. Have a wonderful week. Light and love. This is Carol.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.